Hello, welcome to the Friday, August 22nd, 2014 edition of the Sand Center Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let's start today with a quick update on our API for the Internet Storm Center's website to retrieve data. We added OpenIOC as one output format. Give it a try if you're interested. Just one word of caution, please don't use the data as a block list. If you're using it for an input for IP reputation, it may be helpful. And we are really interested in some feedback to figure out if the format and the way we are using it works well for you. And with that, let's move on to some side channels. Side channels refers to an attack where I do deduct the state of a certain application, not by actually looking at the application itself, but by looking at some peripheral output. The first one would be shared memory. Some researchers deducted the state of the user interface from observing shared memory, and were quite successful in retrieving some private data from other applications running on Android. In one particular case, they were able, for example, to retrieve an image of a check a user took in a banking application. Now, the exact success rate seems to depend on how predictable an application is and how many possible execution paths there are. For example, they were quite successful in the H&R Block application, but less successful in the Amazon application as a result. The application the attacker ran was an unprivileged application that should not have access to what these other applications display on the screen. These side channel attacks also have been a big problem for many cryptography applications. You may have remembered the one team of researchers from Tel Aviv University that did deduct RSA keys based on sound emitted by a CPU. Well, these researchers extended their work now, and they measured the ground potential, essentially small changes in voltage on the chassis of a laptop, and with that were able again to deduct encryption keys. The experiments were reasonably successful. I think they mentioned a success rate about 90%. It depends, however, widely on the type of laptop or computer being used and how the potential is exactly measured. However, one thing they pointed out is you don't necessarily need high-end scientific measurement equipment. And in one case, they were able to deduct these potentials precisely enough by just using the earphone jack of a phone. Lesson here, I think, is that you probably shouldn't leave your devices unattended and that physical access to a device can always be abused. Of course, just the measurement equipment may be more clandestine and not as visible. For example, a sensor built into a desk on which you place the laptop. And FireEye looked at some of the most popular applications in the Google Play Store to check how well they implement SSL. As others have found before, these applications are really sloppy when it comes to the exact details of the SSL implementations. Many of them use SSL libraries incorrectly and, for example, don't validate certificates correctly or do allow for other tricks that essentially then may lead to man-in-the-middle attacks. It looks like the overall decline in the trust users have in antivirus software also affects fake antivirus. Microsoft has a nice little review of the current state of fake antivirus and finds that the number of fake antivirus infections detected has declined significantly over the last couple of years from its peak. Now, one thing they did find lately is sort of simpler fake antivirus software. This antivirus software is really sort of a cross between fake antivirus and extortion software. It will not lock your computer, but by redirecting your HTTP accesses using an entry in your host file to a malicious site, it simulates an antivirus scan whenever whenever you visit a certain site, claiming to clean up a certain matter that may be sitting on these sites, and then essentially ask for money in order to make your computer usable again. So if you consider a ransomware as sort of a follow-on to a fake antivirus, and that's sort of how, in my opinion, it played out over the last year or so, then this is certainly a cross trying to take advantage of both scenarios. Well, and that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. By the way, if you are living in and around Chicago, I will be there next week, and Sunday evening I'll be giving a talk at the SANS conference about IPv6 security. If you would like to attend, please drop me an email so I can get you a badge printed for a free pass. That's it for today. Thanks again for listening, and talk to you again on Monday. Bye.